Okay, we continue in the Gemara. We began the third chapter last week. We finished the Mishnah, and now we're about to start the Gemara. And the Gemara, this is a much more difficult chapter than the first two chapters. So if you have the Gemara's text, it can go two ways. You can look just with the Gemara in the first half, or with the English in the second half. So, Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, two lines from the bottom. If you're fine with the English, it's 13a6. 13a6. Every page is another 13a. Okay? 13a6, where it says Gemara. Where it says Gemara. Okay, now if you noticed, or you didn't, in the Mishnah listed a number of averos that a person transgresses and he gets lashed for it. Now, if you looked at the first number of them, they had to do with forbidden relations, okay? There, the Torah tells us. Now, remember, the Torah doesn't always tell us what the punishment for a certain avera is. Often the Torah just says, you shall not do this. Finished. Okay? There are other times where the Torah says, you shall not do it. And then another place says, and if you do it, you get the punishment. So these specific first ones that the Mishnah listed were forbidden relationships, where the Torah tells us that the punishment is kares. The punishment is kares. So if a person is warned, well, not even warned necessarily, you'll see shortly, you don't have to be warned to get kares. Remember, to get a death penalty, there has to be a warning before you do the sin. All right, to be lashed, there has to be a warning before you do the sin to get lashed. Because that's where the Bezdin enforces a punishment. Kares, it's not Bezdin enforcing a punishment. Kares is God is cutting you off. You don't need Bezdin to make a declaration, you are hereby cut off. Hashem knows that you're cut off. If you did it b'shogeg, it's a different story. Then you bring a korban chatos. Okay. However, so therefore, the Mishnah listed cases where the punishment is kares. Well, if the punishment is kares, and yet you can get lashed for them as well. That's what the Mishnah is saying, right? The Mishnah listed the first number of items that are all punished with kares, yet the Mishnah says you get lashed. Now, that's interesting. Now, I've listed other things as well where you only get lashed. You don't get anything else. Like you're eating treifas or things like that. You just get lashed. The Mishnah did not list averos that come with a death penalty, to which you could say, well, you get lashed for doing these as well. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's say a person desecrates the Shabbos. Mm-hmm. Torah says comes with a death penalty. The Mishnah, there's a number of averes that you can do and get a death penalty. Just like there's a number of averes you can do and get kares. The Mishnah only listed averos that get kares that carries lashes as well. The Mishnah did not list any cases that carry the death penalty that give you kares as well, that give you lashes as well. You follow. So therefore, the Gemara makes the following observation. It seems that the author of the Mishnah maintains that for a sin that carries kares, you can get lashed, but a sin that carries the death penalty, you don't get lashed. That's what a casual observation of the Mishnah would tell us. The Gemara now makes another one. That's a clear observation. The second point we'll see now, it's going to be opinions that will not agree with this, but right now it assumes, so we're speaking in a case, let's say a person wants to have relations with a forbidden relation, so therefore the person is warned not to do this. Warned not to do this. And they warn them and saying you shouldn't do this for this sin. And one second. And therefore, the assumption is because they warned you not to do it and you did it, then you'll get lashed because you were warned not to do this avera. So it would assume that's what's going on over here. So the question is, who was the rabbi, who is the Tana that subscribes to this opinion that for sins that carry a kares punishment, if you're warned to not do it, you'll get lashed? And they warn you and say, if you do this, you're going to get lashed. They warn you, don't do this, you will get lashed, that they will indeed get lashed. But if you warn a person for killing somebody or desecrating the Shabbos, let's say they warn you and say, you know, you can get killed for this, and you could also get lashed for this, but you won't get lashed for this. Okay? So the Gemara wants to know, who is the author that says, by kares punishments, you can get lashed, but for death penalties, you don't get lashed? That's what the Gemara wants to do now. Okay? Clear? What is the discussion on the table over here? Okay? One second. Yeah, especially if you mention that you're warning them to be lashed. That's what the Gemara is assuming now. So let's say a guy wants to marry a woman he's not allowed to marry. So, you know, you're not allowed to do this, and I'm warning you, you're going to do this. You know, it can carry a kares punishment, and you're going to get lashed. Well, you get lashed. Well, if a guy's about to desecrate the Shabbos, and I say, well, you know, you get the death penalty, and you'll get lashed. No, he doesn't get lashed. He only gets the death penalty. So who is the Tana that says this? So that's where the Gemara is going to get us to. Okay, we're now at, again, on 13a6. We're starting the Gemara right at the bottom. Two lines from the bottom. The Gemara says, Chayve Krisus Katani. Chayve Krisus, to be obliged to get the Kares punishment, Katani. The Mishnah listed that. That's included in the list. But chayve misas based in lo ketani. But death penalties they did not list. Okay? So you figure, why not? Why couldn't you give kares as well? It's a lav. The Torah says you shall not do this, and you get lashed for transgressing any lav. But we see the Mishnah says you're not going to get lashed for things that carry a death penalty as well. So that's the conclusion that the Mishnah makes. Look at point 33. The Malkus penalty could theoretically be imposed for a death-bearing crime if the offender was warned before committing the crime that it would render him liable to Malkus. Yet the Mishnah does not list one death-bearing crime as being subject to Malkus. Okay? Fine. So now, back upstairs, the Gemara asks, Masnisin money. This Mishnah, according to whose opinion is it going like? So we're going to see in a minute. So Gemara now says, it appears that it's Rabbi Akiva it's going according to Rabbi Akiva's opinion. How do we know this? The Tanya, for we learn the following Brisa. Now the Brisa will be subject to various interpretations, but the Gemara is going to give a simple explanation to understand it right away. And you're going to see there is a three-way machlokes about this issue. And that means, because there's three different possibilities. Okay, Ditanya, we learned in a Braisa. Opinion number one. Echad chayve krisus. Doesn't matter whether it's a punishment that comes with a sin that comes with a punishment of kares. Ve'echad chayve misas bezin. Doesn't matter if it's a sin that carries the death penalty from the courts. Turn the page. Both of them, we're on 13b1 on the right side now. Yeshno bechlau malchus arboim. They're subject to 40 lashes, which really means 39, but it's subject to 40 lashes. Divrei Rabbi Yishmol. That's what Rabbi Yishmol holds. So Rabbi Yishmol holds, regardless if it comes with a death penalty or a chorus penalty, you will lash the person. Okay, now right now the Gemara assumes that it means if the person was warned that that act would cause him to get lashes and the death penalty. In other words, they see a guy being Mechalel Shabbos, they warn him, and they say, don't be Mechalel Shabbos. Number one, the Torah says, you're going to get stoned for it. Number two, the Torah says, thou shalt not desecrate the Shabbos. You're going to get lashed for it as well. So you say both of them, okay? So Rabbi Yishmael says, he's saying, that you're going to get the two of them. Okay. So he says, Yeshno b'chlau malkus aboyim. You can get both. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel, at this point, seems to say, if you do a kares violation, you can get kares and lashed. An execution violation, you get lashed and executed. That is Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. That's Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. Okay. For Rabbi Akiva Amar, Rabbi Akiva says, Chayve Kresus, yes, I agree that since that carry a Kores punishment, Yeshno Bechlau Malkus Arboim, it does get lashed. And now he gives a little bit of a reason.
Rabbi, we lost a nice table.
I know, but that's okay. We don't need that yet. Okay. Why? Now you're going to see what he's basing it on an idea that the Gemara is not telling you yet. So you're just going to have to be patient. But he says, I could see why you can get lashed for a Kores penalty, because Shim Asa Tshuva. What if the guy does Tshuva? Let's say he eats treifas. Okay, you eat treif, you get lashed. People warn you and say, listen, don't eat treif, you're going to get lashed. Now, it also comes with a Kores punishment as well. Let's say if something comes with a Kores punishment. Okay, so now, a guy does a sin. All right, so when you do the sin, God already cuts you off. You're cut off. Now, can you do tshuva on a sin that gets Kores? Yes, you can. Okay. No reason why you can't did that. So now, once you do tshuva, the kares will fall off.
Meaning it gets reversed?
It goes away. Listen, what are we trying to do in Elul? We're doing tshuva. What happened? We've all done certain averas during the year, right? What do we want Hashem to do? Wipe it out. Yeah. So you got to do tshuva. So we do tshuva, and all the sins we do, Hashem wipes them off, takes them off. So let's say the guy, he can do tshuva. You can do tshuva on kares, and the kares would go off. If the kares goes off, so then, she'im asa tshuva, if the guy does tshuva, bezin shalmala, the higher court, meaning Hashem's court, moichlilahem, is mochel, he forgives the punishment. And therefore, what will happen? We can still lash him, though. He can be lashed for that. On the other hand, chayve beis misas bezdin, but if someone's obliged to be killed in a court, eina bichlal malchus abayim, cannot be given 40 lashes. Why? Shimasa tshuva, because even if the sinner does tshuva, let's say you were warned not to be mechalel Shabbos, and you were mechalel Shabbos, the Torah tells us, doesn't matter tshuva or not, you get the death penalty. And as a matter of fact, we encourage him to do tshuva, but he still has to get killed. That's just the way it works. When it's a death penalty that comes with something, and you were warned, there's no way out. You can do tshuva for the rest of your life, which isn't going to be very long. Yeah. And you get the death penalty. There's no way of getting out of the death penalty. And therefore, you're stuck with that. Now, therefore, you can't get lashed. So what is this based on? We're going to see shortly, Gemara is going to tell us that, remember we said, you cannot get two punishments for one crime. There's such a rule. Gemara is going to say it explicitly later on. You cannot get two punishments for one crime. One crime gets one punishment.
The more severe one.
That's it. And you get the more... Remember, if you do a sin that carries two punishments, you get the more severe. You don't give one... You don't give two punishments to somebody. So therefore, let's take a look at this. So, kares. Person doesn't have ready, it's kares. Well, we could still lash him. Number one, that could... because why? Because he could do tshuva. When he does tshuva, the kares goes off. But still, you get lashed for the fact you were warned you're going to get lashed. Just like any other lashing, any avera that carries lashes, your tshuva isn't going to help. You're going to get lashed. Remember, there are things that... Here's the simple thing to remember. Is it something that the bezdin below is required to deal with? Or is it something the bezdin above is required to deal with? That becomes the key component here. If the bezdin below is required to do it, they have to do it. There's nothing to discuss. So what is that? Well, a guy eats treif. He was warned not to eat treif. Torah says you can't do that. We have a rule. You transgress a negative commandment, you get lashed. The Beis Din has an obligation to enforce the law. And they enforce the law by lashing. Now, the Torah...
Tshuva
or not. Now, he still has to do tshuva. But tshuva is not going to take away from the fact that he's got to be executed. Executed by being lashed. They execute him with the lashing. Similarly, a guy commits a crime that the Torah says the punishment is to execute him by one of the four death penalties, then the Beis Din has to do it. It's not up to Beis Din. Beis Din's not their job to determine if he has done tshuva, hasn't done tshuva. That's something that Beis Din, first of all, can't really rule on. You can't rule. Hashem knows what's in my heart. If you look in the laws of the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, and he says, how do you know that a person's done tshuva gemura? It's when the Almighty himself can testify he will not do the sin again. That's the wording of the Rambam. The Almighty, not me, not you, not a Beis Din. Nobody can testify that this guy is not going to sin again. No, a guy, you know, people can fool. You can fool a lot of people, but you can't fool God. Right? So therefore, we could never enforce, you can't enforce tshuva. We can enforce certain things. You stole from somebody, we can enforce that you pay him back. We can enforce that. And that, for that matter, any lav hanitak la'aseh, where the Torah says there's a negative commandment, but it can be fixed up with a positive commandment, like stealing. Stealing, we don't lash a guy. Why? Because it can be fixed up. You pay the money back. Everything's fixed up. That's all the Beis Din can deal with. The guy's got to do tshuva, but that Beis Din can't enforce tshuva. You understand? So therefore, whatever is enforceable, whatever Beis Din can enforce, they do enforce. The guy doing tshuva, I'm sorry, I don't know if you're going to do tshuva or not. One thing's for sure, lashing you have to get. Torah says we lash people who transgress negative commandments that have an action. Torah says we lash. And I guess the Torah meant you lash a man, he does tshuva. Same thing with executions. Same thing. Kares has nothing to do with Beis Din. If a guy does a sin, let's say a guy does not bring a Korban Pesach. That comes with a sin of Kares. So Beis Din does not enforce kares, because kares means Hashem will cut him off physically and spiritually. It's between him and Hashem. The court can't get involved. The only thing the court can do is teach you the Torah, tell you're not supposed to do this. They can warn you not to do this. Because, you know, has everybody brought their Korban Pesach? You know, they can maybe try to force you to bring the Korban, but push comes to shove. They can't enforce what happens when you transgress. They can't implement the punishment because it's a spiritual punishment. So the Beis Din does not have the power to enforce a spiritual punishment. It's going to be or it's not going to be. They can't say, well, we hereby declare that God is going to cut you off. What does it mean? We don't need you to do that. We need God to do that. God will know if he doesn't. Now, you could ask a rabbi a question. You know, I did this thing. Do you think God's going to give me kares? Well, we're going to say, listen, this is the aver. Did you do this and this? Yes, I did this and this. Okay, so God's going to give you kares. Well, what can I do? Well, you can do tshuva. How do I do tshuva? I could teach you how to do tshuva. Fine. But the Beis Din can't enforce the punishment of it. You see, they can't enforce kares. It's either there or it's not there. Yeah. Fine. But what if the guy does do teshuva?
Yes.
Well, it's between him and God. So if he does teshuva, then that punishment of kares is finished. It's taken care of. It's
to
gone.
Hashem, not to the court.
No, the court has nothing to do with kares. It's Hashem's business.
Yeah.
Now, the court can lash him. Remember we said you can't give two punishments.
Right.
Beis Din's not giving two punishments. They're giving him one punishment.
Lashing.
All right, guy's not supposed to get two punishments. Well, the truth is, he doesn't have to get two punishments. If he does teshuva, then the lashing will be the only punishment. He did teshuva. Why should you get lashed at all? No, the Torah says you get lashed for every lav that you do. That's not negotiable.
He could still end up getting two punishments.
So you'll see later, yes.
Because he doesn't do teshuva.
So Tony, yeah. The Gemara later is going to bring up your point. Mor is going to bring it this way. At the time he sinned, he certainly has not done tshuva yet. And when we lash him, we're going to be lashing him while the kares is still hanging over him. The Mor is going to ask your question. So be patient. And that's why it's going to be a problem with this. But right now, we're just learning it simply that Rabbi Akiva basically says a person does not get two punishments for a sin. Well, a death penalty, if we lash him, that would be two punishments. Because he's going to be killed. We have to execute him. And if we lash him, we're giving him two punishments. We don't give two punishments. Of course, we're going to have to understand why would Rabbi Yishmael say that even in a death penalty, you do lash him. We'd have to understand Rabbi Yishmael's position, how he's going, why he will argue in Rabbi Akiva. That's what Gemara is going to deal with later. On the other hand, a kares punishment, which can very well tshuva can be done for, and Hashem will be mochalim, so now he'll end up with only one punishment of lashes. So Rabbi Akiva says, lash a kares you lash, death penalty you don't lash. And finally, a third opinion. Let's continue on. Rav Yitzchak Omer, Chayve Krisus Bechlal Hayu. Okay, let me bring an idea over here. The Gemara, when we have in the Parsha of Achrimos, Achrimos tells us a list of all the forbidden relations you cannot have. And at the end of those forbidden relations, it says, whoever does such an abomination, he will be cut off. Meaning to say, after they listed the whole group, whatever it was, 15, 20 on the list, at the end it says, and anyone who does all these is going to get kares. I'm sorry, did I say lashes? I meant is going to get kares. Good. So all these get kares. Now, the thing is, by one of them, by a sister, it says that if you have relations with your sister, now we go to the next parsha, Kedoshim, that comes after Achrimos. Gemara repeats, someone who takes his sister gets kares. So Gemara says, wait a minute. If it already was on the list in Achrimos, that this one time, for all of them gets kares, then why in Parshas Kedoshim, when it repeats the warning not to be with your sister, it mentions again you get kares. So why would you repeat it? So this comes one of the 13 mitos that the Torah is learned from. That comes to teach you something. So look in footnote 5 at the bottom. Very important. Again, we're on page 13b1. It's footnote 5. The eighth of the 13 hermeneutic principles is called Davar Shahaya Bechlal, anything that was in an overall category, V'yatza, and went out. In other words, the Torah repeated and singled it out again, even though it was already in the category. Lo l'lamad al atzma yatza, it's not coming to teach about itself, but rather l'lamad al klal kol yikulo, to teach us about the whole rule. In other words, you have a rule. The rule says, all these forbidden relations, get kares. That goes for all of them. Now, another pasuk, and this one, which was part of the group, the Torah singles says, this gets kares. And what do you get only gets kares for? It's part of the group. So this is one of the rules, something that was in the group, and now went out of the group. What do you mean went out of the group? The Torah singled it out and repeats, you're getting kares. It's not coming to teach something about it, but to something to teach you about the whole rule. So what's going to teach the whole rule? The whole rule is the following, that whenever you get a punishment of kares, we're repeating by one of them. You get kares and nothing else but kares. Which means if he's warned not to do it, and they say, well, you're going to get lashed because you're transgressing a negative commandment. It's teaching the rule for the whole group is anything that comes with a punishment of kares does not get lashed. That's why the Torah repeated. It singled out a sister to get kares even though it's part of the group. So what do you have to tell me against kares? I know it gets kares. So it's got to teach me something. It's teaching that these things that come with kares, even if you warn them that they'll get lashed, you don't give them lashes. But rather, you only get kares. That's what it's teaching you.
Then you do tshuva, and then you end up with getting nothing.
But you did tshuva.
Yeah.
A real tshuva. That's all. But it's a... In other words, it's Hashem telling us, for whatever reason, Hashem feels so, that the Torah is saying, well, just like an execution of a death penalty, you don't lash a person for that. The Torah now is going out of its way to tell you the same thing for a kares punishment. Since the Torah repeats it unnecessarily to say get kares if you're with your sister, must be to teach you what? That it only gets kares and there's nothing else but kares. Even if you were warned to get lashed, you don't get lashed. And that's not teaching only for itself, but for the whole rule. Any kares does not get lashed. So let's read it inside now. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, Chayv Ekrisus Bechlal Hayu. Being Chayv Kares for all those forbidden relationships was part of the rule, right? Bechlal Hayu. V'lama Yotzes Kares Bacho. So why did the Torah go out of its way to single out and mention Kares by one sister? The answer is Laduna Bakares, to say you only get judged with Kares, V'lo B'malkus, and not to get lashed.
So then you shouldn't be warned either. Why should you be warned if it's not going to end up being implemented?
So that the person won't do it.
So they're saying you should still
warn. Okay, let's say... Let's say I see a Jew who's going to get married to a mamzer. Should I not warn him not to do it because it's against the Torah? When you see anyone doing an aver, even if it carries no punishment, shouldn't you tell a Jew not to do it?
Yes, but you should warn him, but don't say you're going to get lashes.
No,
don't say that.
So you could warn him and say you're going to get kares by God.
Right.
Okay, fine. But you should warn someone. We're saying even if you warn him and say you're transgressing an Eighth Commandment and you're going to get lashed, he will not get lashed. Look at the commentary. Although we would normally impose malchus on anyone who violates a negative commandment, nevertheless, in the case of incest with one sister, he is liable only to kares. Because the Torah emphasized the kares penalty in that case. By extension, Rabbi Yitzchak derives hermeneutically that all kares-bearing sins carry that penalty exclusively and not the penalty of malchus. So now we come back to what I wanted to show you on the chart. So when are you going to get the email from me today? Okay. Ah, I don't want that.
I can see you.
What is going on here? I don't this computer. Oh, press home to unlock. Okay, one sec. Okay, there you go.
It has to do with two different places, right? The mouth is...
Yes. Okay, there it is. Here's the chart. Do you get lashed for chayve krisos? Remember these terms. Chayve krisos, a punishment that comes with kares, or chayve misos, a punishment that comes with a death penalty.
Okay.
Rabbi Shmuel says, yes, you can get lashed for all of them. Obviously, and on the other hand, Rabbi Yitzchak says, no. Okay, Rabbi Akiva says you can get lashed for chayve krisos. You don't get lashed for chayve misos. Okay, so now the question is going to be, what the Gemara is telling us. So our mission is like Rabbi Akiva.
Yeah.
Now, what the Gemara is going to say is, okay, we're going to analyze each one of the three rabbis and try to understand the position. Why Rabbi Shmuel says what he says, why Rabbi Akiva says what he says, why Rabbi Yitzchak says what he says, why the others disagree with him and don't say what the other one says. We don't have enough filled in right now. Rabbi Akiva, now let's take a look at let's look at the factors here, and tomorrow we'll dig into this much more. What are the general factors we know? Well, if the Torah says, thou shalt not, every thou shalt not carries a lash penalty. So it seems very simply, Rabbi Shmuel says, well, these are all thou shalt nots. I don't care if you're going to get killed or whatever. It's all a thou shalt not. Thou shalt not, you get lashed. Straight away. That's his opinion. Rabbi Akiva says, well, that could be true, but there's another factor. No one gets two punishments. So now we have to balance conflicting rules. We have rule one. Wherever it says thou shalt not, you get lashed. Straight off. So that would seem to include anything. Rabbi Akiva says, wait a minute. A guy only gets one punishment, doesn't get two punishments. So therefore he says, by death penalty, he can't get two punishments. So you can't lash him. Obviously, Rabbi Shmuel is going to have to address that question. What's he going to do with that question? He has to address it. The Gemara will bring it up. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva says, but by kares, could be only getting one punishment anyway. Okay, now, Rabbi Yitzchak, on the other hand, what has he said? Well, I deduce from the extra word with the sister who gets lashed, that gets kares, that you don't lash by kares. That's a pretty good proof, isn't it? What's Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel going to do with that proof? What they're going to have to say is, you're right, it's extra, but maybe it's going to teach something else. And that's going to be a whole running discussion. You follow? Why Rabbi Yitzchak says no to Chayve Misos. You know, could be he subscribes to Rabbi Akiva. And then you have to understand how they argue with Rabbi Shmuel. So this is the foundation for tomorrow's class. So all you're going to need to know for now is this three-way machlokes. Know what their opinions are based on. Our Mishnah clearly seems to be Rabbi Akiva. And tomorrow's discussion will start with what's the reasons for Rabbi Shmuel, and follow that with the reasons of Rabbi Akiva. Have fun. Just get this part clear so that tomorrow I'll have my technical stuff fixed up, and you'll be ready to roll, and I'll send you the notes of the class shortly.